Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, the parable of the prodigal son. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him." "Him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He had lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the word of God for the people of God.
Conversation with a friend this week who admittedly doesn't believe in God, and he said, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "Oh goodness, we're doing the story of the prodigal son." And he recited it back for me. He's like, you mean that one, right? I said, I do. He said, well, what are you going to say? I said, oh, I don't know. What should I say? He said, I don't know. I think that boy was wrong. I thought that was interesting. This gentleman who's lived his whole life growing up knowing the stories of the Bible and of the world and knowing and had such conviction about how he felt like the older son also. We do that, don't we? We relate to a particular character sometimes in a story, and no matter what, it's hard to let that go. Sometimes we can even change what we think. This story is found in this gospel. We get Luke's take on this parable, this not a true story, but a truth story are what the parables are. And it's an opportunity for us to hear about Jesus' teaching, but also to see how God's people should live. Let us, before we go deeper, let us pray. Gracious God, forgive us when we feel like running away. Forgive us when our hearts don't want to meet yours. Forgive us, gracious God, as we sometimes don't want to forgive others. Help us, Lord, to hear your word this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So this parable, the parable of the lost son, follows two other parables. The lost sheep, remember, 99 sheep are there, but one went away. Did the shepherd go look for him or not, right? We always get to consider that question, searching for the one that was lost. And then it was the parable of the lost coin. A woman with 10 silver coins loses one. She cleans her whole house to find it so that all 10 coins are together. But this parable tries to go one step further beyond that immediate, look, I found what was lost. Look, and here it is. We get to have this story of response. What happens when not just the lost is found, but the lost returns? We started our Lenten journey a couple weeks ago with this concept of remembering. We remembered or recalled David's anointing, his anointed self, and then his decisions that he made later in life and his actions with Bathsheba. Then we talked last week about repent and this deep and honest, I'm sorry that we didn't hear come from Adam and Eve. And yet we are asked, we are called to, we are made to deeply respond with repentance. And now we get to this idea of reconciliation, this first step in restoring relationship, to come back to coexisting in this harmonious state. And we share a story that talks about running away as much as it talks about coming home. Seems fitting, doesn't it? If you think about it, I remember my mom told me once that I ran away from home. Oh, she said I was so determined. She said I packed my bag and I had it sitting by the door. And she kept asking when I was going to leave, and I said I wasn't quite ready yet. But when I left, I was going to leave. She said I made it about two houses down, up the road about two houses before I came back. I don't remember why I came back, and I don't remember anything about the story, except she always remembered that I was determined to leave. I wonder if that's the young boy in this story, that he always knew he needed to leave, and yet he always knew he needed to return. I don't know. This passage, like many passages, gives us an opportunity to look at different characters and see which one we might fit with and how we might also respond in a loving or caring way. The father responds to his son with this gesture of all-forgiving compassion. That's where Henry Nouwen puts it. He says, one must have died many deaths and cried many tears to have painted a portrait of God in such humility. Think about the ways that our lives have seasoned us, have changed us, have made us more sometimes like the forgiving father who welcomes the son home, even if we're living as one of the sons. There's this idea that this deep understanding of reconciliation is what is required. It's not the childlike forgiveness that we like to talk about or the simple flippant, that's okay when someone does something wrong, right? It's not as easy as just handing you a note and says, I'm sorry, right? This is deeper than that. What happened in this story, at least how I see it, what happened in this story is this young man had already turned away from everything that he knew. He repented, but not in the way that we are hoping to as we approach the cross. For him, his turning away was from all that was comfortable, from his life, from his family, from what he knew. He was out to search for something new. And not that that's bad, but he did so at a great cost. The direction that I hope we will all take, and maybe you'll help me get there, is that as we approach Easter, as we face Easter in front of us, that we will reclaim Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for ourselves and understand how that forgiveness is offered to us. But perhaps a depiction of our own lives, possibly, we need to sometimes refocus, or like this young man did when he was looking at those pig slops. That's what caught him and allowed him to recenter. He realized, like we do sometimes, that we make mistakes. Sometimes if we let ourselves get a big enough sheet of paper, we can make a long list of all of our mistakes. Yeah. And sometimes we can look at that list and realize that some of those mistakes caused others and ourselves very deep pain. The younger son, in my opinion, made some poor choices. That's what we say at our house, poor choices. I think he made a lot of poor choices, but that's just me. And yet, as a people of faith, we are to restore relationship. We are to be in relationship not only with people that love us, but one of the biggest relationships that we're to maintain is that with God. Others are with God's people as a whole, and we also need to have the responsibility to maintain relationships with those whom we choose to do life with. Family, friends, co-workers, our church family. In this story, it's a boy who returns to his father. See how I reframed that title? We always look at this as the prodigal son, the one that went away. But what if we looked at the story differently? What if instead we started calling this story the story of a boy who returns to his father? The story of a boy who comes home. And what if we focus instead of on the running away and the squandering, maybe instead on the idea that a young man made an apology in a position of humbleness with a face of embarrassment in a release of control, accepting whatever fate would come his way. I'm sure he hoped that his dad would accept his I'm sorry. But it sounds like he didn't expect it. He recognized that he had made a bigger problem, a deeper problem. And he said to his dad, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am no longer worthy to be called yours. I find that when I read a scripture, especially if it's one I've read before, that different words jump out at me. And when I hear different voices read it, still other words jump out at me. This week, the words that grabbed my attention were belong, divided, bread, music, and dancing. Yeah. I think that's probably because that's the frame of mind I'm in right now. We live in a house with a lot of music and dancing. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I really belong, and other times I recognize our divisions more than I wish. And I'm sure that bread jumped out of the page at me this week because it's our day to celebrate communion together with the bread of life and the cup of love that's offered to us like it was offered to that son, even though we don't expect it, that we shouldn't expect it, and that we maybe don't deserve it. And yet it's here, prepared for us. It will be blessed by the Holy Spirit, and it will be shared with us. This table will be wide and welcoming, whether or not we have run a long ways away and come home, or if we have always been here. Beyond the dictionary definition, for me, reconciliation is about regaining comfort and being in a place physically, mentally, spiritually that is comfortable. For me, that's not where that boy was in the slop to the pigs part of the story or in the dissolute living. I've never been very comfortable in either of those places. But instead, it's in that time where the dad puts the robe around them, that soft robe, and he wraps him up in spite of his faults. Being in right relationship feels to me like the soft, loving embrace of being in relationship in spite of my faults and in spite of the faults of those whom I love. But it's not time to get all the way to the relationship word. That's a few weeks down the line. Before we can do that, we have to consider reconciliation. And I'm sure some of you have done that. You've probably tried lots of different ways, right? There's the forgive and forget method, right? There's the forgive but I won't forget method, right? There's the you fooled me once, shame on me, on you, fooled me twice, shame on me. Yeah. There's that that other one that's really popular. Sweep it under the rug and move on, pretend it never happened. Yeah. That one's kind of fun sometimes, isn't it? Until it's not. Yeah. Then there's that one, the sincere apology that I was told has three pieces of acknowledging your offense and taking responsibility for it, showing visible signs of regret or shame so that the person really knows that you're sorry, and then being vulnerable to the other person. Which method do you like? Depends on the day, right? On who you're with, how you're feeling, right? I think it also depends on if you're willing to accept that you have truly been forgiven and that you'll be forgiven over and over and over again by the God that created you and loves you. Because if you can't accept that, then I think you can't do the tough stuff of the deep forgiveness with others. Maybe you can. I can't. Having an understanding of right and wrong is a big piece. And having a desire to repair relationship is another big piece. And that's what we're working on this week as we journey towards the cross. So I leave you with the question, what will it take for you and I to return to God wholeheartedly? What will it take for us to accept those open arms that cut off? Did you hear that? The younger son's well-rehearsed confession is cut short by his father's love. What will it take for us to let someone cut us short with their love, where they just surround us so much in love that our mistakes can step aside for a minute, and we can just rejoice? What would it take for us to sit down to eat the fattened calf together without all the concern of those feelings the older brother had? I will admit, I often considered myself the older brother in this story. And I've had a little bit of time in the last couple weeks to consider how I have maybe played some other roles or characters as well. Because for me, that's what Lent is about. In order for me to prepare my heart for Easter, I need to consider what I need to do to change. I need to sit with the notion for a little bit that I have to open up my heart as well to what offenses could be separating me from God or from people that I love. And not just make the list of things that people did to me, but how I might have played a role as well. As we prepare for Easter and we prepare for Christ to be resurrected, we must remember what it has caused our separation, be open to the judgment and repent, and then prepare our hearts for reconciliation, so that if it is offered, that we too can join in the party that will be thrown, either as a recipient of that party, or as the hostess. With God's help, may we welcome each other. Amen.